Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We welcome you this morning to Christian Worldview, where in Greenville, South Carolina, it's a little bit warmer than it's been the rest of this week, 42 degrees currently. Going to be warming up to 58 degrees today, and clear skies once again. A little bit windy, but not too much, just a little bit breezy today. So I might still need your coat if you're just getting ready to leave the house or are about to go on your way to work. Go ahead and make sure you have a light coat with you because it might be a little bit chilly today out there. We are so glad we have so many folks listening around the country now. And this morning we have want to start the show with an email that we received from Corey Burnell. Now, Corey Burnell is a very important person because he's the one who is heading up Christian Exodus. Now, the Christian Exodus is a group that strives for allegiance to his kingdom first, and they are trying to actually locate thousands of Christians and people who are aligned with the principles of liberty to South Carolina. It's been selected by these guys to move folks out here. You can find out about Christian Exodus by going to christianexodus.org. That's www.christianexodus.org. He's going to be speaking at an event on Friday, March 11th. He says, I will be in Spartanburg on Friday, March 11th, and would like to host a meeting for all christianexodus.org members nearby. Please consider yourself cordially invited to attend and bring any interested friends or family with you. I will speak for approximately 30 minutes about christianexodus.org, constitutionalism, and Christianity. We will then open the meeting for questions and discussion. You'll also have the opportunity to meet our new South Carolina State Director, Frank Janoski, and pepper him with questions, too. Now, it may be, you know, every Friday, and they'll be including today, the Tyranny Response Unit, that's me, Dr. John Coben, meets for an informal public policy chat at California Dreaming, which is right near I-85 and Pelham Road. I believe Mr. Frank Janoski might be there today as well. So if you're interested in meeting either me, the Fraternity Response Unit, or Frank Janoski, or both of us, please do stop by around noon, maybe a little later, at the California Dreaming today. Corey Burnell, the head of Christian Exodus, continues, ChristianExodus.org is about to launch a campaign with a number of allied organizations to get the Right to Life Act of South Carolina passed into law. Good work. This meeting in Spartanburg will be an opportunity for us to begin circling the wagon, so to speak. I hope you'll make every effort to join us. We will meet at a restaurant to be announced shortly at Spartanburg at 7 p.m. I sincerely hope to meet you there and get to know you better for God and country. Corey. Now, we'll be happy to continue to announce this event here on Christian Worldview. We're very pleased that these folks are coming out from Christian Exodus, and we're glad to find so many pro-life libertarians and constitutionalists among their ranks, and we'll look forward to not only meeting all of them as they begin to arrive and helping them assimilate here into South Carolina. Now, Corey was also listening yesterday to the Tyranny Response Network. He's quite pleased with the Tyranny Response Network, and especially this show, Christian Worldview. So out in California, he listens to the recorded show because it's just a little bit early for you folks on the West Coast right now. I think it'll be coming in right around 4:30 a.m. But he picks up the recorded broadcast as soon as it's done, or shortly, sometime thereafter, and has been listening. And here's what he says. Hi, John. Here's a question for your show. Dear Dr. Coben. That's two different greetings, but I guess that's all right. Dear Dr. Coben, I live in California and listen to your show on the Internet while working from my office. Thank you for making the recorded broadcasts available. They're extremely convenient. Recently, I heard one of your callers reference the divine right of government, and she posited that the government's laws must be obeyed as if they came from God himself, since he has instituted the government. I hope beyond hope that you would, I hoped beyond hope that you would question her about the American Revolution and the fact that our founders openly disobeyed the government instituted over them. You did not disappoint me. In fact, you specifically asked the caller if our founders sinned by rebelling against the British crown. The caller, and I believe this is the caller, he's referring to Juliet's call the other day. The caller was stumped because her previous position now required her to state the founders did act sinfully. And of course, this cut terribly against the grain of her patriotism. No red-blooded American Christian would ever claim that our founders sinned in establishing this great nation of ours, a nation that has led to the salvation of millions, if not billions, of souls over the past 200 years. The caller stuttered and stammered because her instinct told her that our founders did not sin in rebelling, and her instinct was correct. The government described by Paul in Romans chapter 13 can forfeit its right to rule by instituting policies contrary to God's law. The British crown had done just that, and the Americans were righteously justified in seceding from Great Britain. The caller must therefore revisit their initial conclusion that all government edicts must be obeyed. Another extreme example is the German government of the 1930s and 1940s. Although it may have been used by God for various purposes, no case can be made that they retained a right to rule derived from Romans 13. It had clearly forfeited such a right by egregiously violating God's sovereign and revealed law. Romans 13, verses 3 and 4, describe the type of government that has a right to rule, one where rulers are not a cause of fear to good behavior, and where government is a minister of God to you for good. The government that falls on those two counts is not the government described by Paul in Romans 13. It ought to be replaced, just as our founders did in 1776. Keep up the good work, my friend, Corey Burnell from Modesto, California, and the head of the Christian Exodus Movement. Well, I appreciate the email, Corey, and there are four different Christian or four different views of from an evangelical perspective of public policy. The theology of public policy is somewhat complicated in the sense that different Christians who hold to the same core set of beliefs about the Trinity, the resurrection, the virgin birth, the second coming, justification by grace through faith alone, and all the basic doctrines of the faith, the Bible being the inerrant word of God, can come to different conclusions in the same way that they come to different conclusions on issues such as baptism or the Lord's Supper, perhaps, or the millennium. These things are debatable by good men on different sides of the issue in the faith. And the same thing can be said about one's theology of public policy. There is a quiz that you, Corey, if you're listening, can take at the bottom of policyofliberty.net, and I would encourage you and all listeners to go to policyofliberty.net, scroll down to the bottom of the page, and click on Take the Quiz. When you take the quiz, up will pop an Adobe Acrobat file, which will contain 15 multiple-choice questions. The first five questions help you identify what school of thought. There's two broad schools of thought. One is called the Competing Kingdom School, which I adhere to, and the other would be the Integrated Authority School. And both Corey, I think, and, believe it or not, Juliet would hold to, according to this email at any rate, would hold to that Integrated Authority School. Below that, there would be the next 10 questions, which would help define which of the four views, in other words, the two subcategories of each of those schools, you would fall into, whether it be the modern or revitalized divine right of kings view, a theonomic position, which I think Corey is essentially taking, and or an Amish position, that would be the pacifist or Anabaptist position, shouldn't really just call it Amish, Anabaptist or pacifist position, and the other would be, of course, the liberty of conscience position, which I hold here, yours truly at the Tyranny Response Unit on the Tyranny Response Network. Now, the most actively involved in being willing to rebel against the state of all these views include the position that I take, the liberty of conscience view, which was held by many Baptists at the American Revolution and others, as well as those Presbyterians and Congregationalists who held the theonomic or Christian Reconstruction view. Now, these are important views to consider because though we were fighting side by side, even though we had differences, those two views fought side by side in the American Revolution. The other views, the pacifists, have only passive resistance other than refusing to pay war taxes, and the divine writers tended to be the Tories. And I think Juliet would have would have aligned herself, at least at this point, in that, with the Tories at that of that time, if she's going to be logically consistent at any rate. Well, when we come back from the break, we want to discuss this very important issue again. It comes up time and again here on Christian Worldview because it is so essential to our understanding of the Scriptures and the faith with respect to public policy. So we'll take up this issue a little more when we get back. This is Dr. John Coben. You're listening to Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN, and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS, as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. Glad you've joined us this morning. We're talking about a deep issue. I know we started a little early with these deep issues this morning, but since Corey brought up the point, referring to Juliet's phone call, which he heard on the recorded broadcast while listening in the great state of California, we want to go ahead and entertain that thought and that comment. You see, Corey brings up a great point, and that's how do we interpret the fundamental passages about the Christian's relationship to the state as found in Romans chapter 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, as well as Titus chapter 1. And in his perspective, which is very consistent with a theonomic perspective, government, the words good and evil used in verses 3 and 4 about the government not bearing the sword in vain, and government being the punishment, a punisher of those who do evil and rewarder of those who do good, he's defining good and evil there according to the way God would define it. In other words, the way God sees good and the way God sees evil. So the minister of God, the state, is not to be a terror to good works, but instead is one that is to be a rewarder of those who do good things, like the Christians. And it's supposed to attack those who disobey God's law in that perspective. And because of that, when a state becomes corrupt, which interestingly enough, they almost always do, and start doing exactly the opposite, they lose their right and authority to govern. This is the theonomic perspective. And that even though this doesn't happen very often, we can have a righteous government, one that rules the world in righteousness. Even though it doesn't happen very well, we have to continually work for that. And as Greg Bonson points out in chapter 19 of Theonomy and Christian Ethics, this is really an idealized version of the state. Paul is talking about practical theology ever since Romans chapter 9 and jumps into this section of Romans chapter 12, decides to give a theoretical abstract on what government should be like, maybe during the post-millennial or golden age, or maybe just in an ideal sense, any time. Because obviously he wasn't talking about Nero, and the Theonomists recognize this. The Christian Reconstructionists know that Nero was a wicked king who did not uphold any of God's commandments, and Paul was obviously not talking about him when he was writing the passage. Well, that's one way you can view this, that this was just a theoretical abstract for you know, a blueprint, if you want to call it, for what a godly government should look like. And as soon as godly government does not exist, Romans 13 no longer applies as far as submission. We can rebel. We have to use a lower magistrate, according to the thesis. And I hope you who are listening think I believe I'm presenting this as objectively as possible. Even though I don't agree with what I'm saying right now, I am trying to present objectively as possible this position. I think it's a valid position. I think you can come up with this point of view being an evangelical and being true to God's word. And I think great men such as Greg Bahnsen, R.J. Rush Dooney, Gary North, people who I respect very much and read and enjoy, you know, 80% or more of what they have to say, and in many issues, 100% of what they have to say, I think that they can come to this conclusion, but I also think they can be mistaken. Now, when you take the quiz, you're going to be led to understand that this is just one of four different ways you can interpret it. Juliet's view, by the way, was the other aspect of the other side of the integrated authority school, different than Corey's view or the view Corey expressed, which is a theonomic view. In the with the view of Juliet, they call it the other day the divine right view. The language of Romans 13 has to be taken plainly, as well as 1 Peter chapter 3. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. We like plain, literal interpretation unless there are compelling reasons to not interpret the Bible in such a way. So in that particular view, you'd come to Romans 13 and you'd read the text and it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, etc., etc., etc. And you'd say, well, look, Nero, maybe we don't know everything about Nero, but obviously if Paul says he's a punisher of those who are evil, doing evil, and a rewarder of those who are doing good, he really didn't kill Christians. He really, you know, rewarded them, or his administration did, at least in large measure, rewarded them. And he really did punish those who violated all or part of God's law. And they will come up with a truly revisionist history and say, well, the fourth commandments, perhaps, I've heard one pastor put it this way, government's there, it's imposed on people to come up and punish sins against the fourth through the ninth commandments, or the fifth through the ninth commandments. Can't have police for covetousness, so that's why the tenth drops off. And maybe the first through the one through four all go away because they have to do with the worship of one God. But they say, well, we selectively choose just the fifth commandment about honoring your father and mother, all the way through the prohibitions against adultery, murder, stealing, so forth. So given that, that context, they would say, you see, Nero was doing this, and governments do this. This is what governments bring to the world, law and order. Now, of course, this position is very debatable and doubtful historically, biblically, and otherwise, but nevertheless, that is one way to interpret it. Just say, hey, look, government's there, it punishes those who break the law, and it rewards those who do good. The liberty of conscience view, Corey, and hopefully you are listening to the recorded broadcast, takes a different take than all of these things, and you may, along with me, disagree very much with the divine right point of view, but here is what liberty of conscience says about the passage, and maybe at least appreciate, even if at the end of the day you don't agree with it, you at least appreciate that this view could well be a valid perspective. The words good and evil are not the words used by to mean what God thinks about good or evil in those passages. As a matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. In fact, Paul changes the Greek word he's using for evil from poneros in the first part of chapter 12 to start using the less clear or more expansive word, maybe that's the better word, the broader word, kakon, like bad deeds. And misdeeds. It could be translated as simply bad behavior, even in Romans 13. It could also be wickedness, but it doesn't have to be. And Paul made a deliberate choice of word change. He also makes it very clear that submission is to be passive, by the way. And I think all the perspectives would probably come to agree with this, that the word submit, let every soul be subject, is a passive active tense. I believe that's what they call it. I'm not a Greek scholar. I've been told this. Meaning that if you're walking through the gate and they're asking you to pay a tax, you go ahead and you obey, but you don't run out to scour the law books to make sure you didn't miss any tax that could possibly be due. some divine writers would probably hold to that kind of position. You've got to go out of your way to obey every possible law that you can find, every law that you can possibly find out about, and that's required. The text does not indicate that. It indicates if you're going through the gate and they're about to beat you over the head with a stick, then go ahead and pay up. Don't resist. Just submit yourself and pay them, like Christ did with the fish story with Peter. Doesn't your master pay the temple tax? Of course. And Jesus wasn't worried about it, obviously. He'd gone all along without paying the temple tax and didn't think much about it. Well, at any rate, he said, lest we offend them, if you look at the passage, go ahead and get this. So instead of trying to offend the government agencies, we just go ahead and we pay up the tax. At any rate, this story continues. In fact, I believe, being as long-winded as a tyranny response unit is it sometimes, we've already come up against another break. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about the liberty of conscience point of view on the Tyranny Response Network. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
The law of non-contradiction. The same thing cannot at the same time both belong and not belong to the same object and in the same respect. Aristotle.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we try to do that every day here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Hope you're enjoying the show this morning. Appreciate all of you listening to the webcast. We have a webcast that's available nationwide and worldwide. Simply go to policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. Scroll down to the link that's underlined in all caps, says the word live. Click on that link and it will pop up your media player or anything you use to play sound files, and it will begin to play the show live wherever you are, at home or office, anywhere in the world. Please tell your friends, family members, and others about the Tyranny Response Network and about the live stream that they can listen to via their computers. We realize most people, especially here locally, listen in their car radio, and that's great. But if you do have the opportunity to listen on the computer, it's a crystal clear connection, and it's a great opportunity to be involved with Christian Worldview, even if you're not in the Greenville, South Carolina area. So we encourage you to encourage your friends to listen in. But we're talking about the liberty of conscience point of view. I want to jump right back in how Romans chapter 13, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17 would be interpreted. And it's simply this. Once you view the words good and evil as being not the way God defines good and evil in that passage, but instead the way government defines by its own cultural or other standard, then you have a very different indication or description of the book. Instead of having to do what the theonomists do and say, well, this is just a passage that refers to an idealized state, it's a state that occurs during the Golden Age, what we have is Nero full-featured before the Christians, that Paul is writing to them in a very practical section of the letter about the very government they live under and saying to them, look, Nero is a bad guy. He's very powerful. You don't have enough of what it takes to revolt against him. You Christians are not as powerful as the Roman army. Remember this. If you do something that's against what he thinks is good, then he's going to execute wrath on you. He does not bear the sword in vain. And if you end up instead doing things that he likes, which are probably wicked things, he will likely reward you. And that's why we find Christians being completely persecuted by the state, maligned by the state, and those who did evil were in fact rewarded by the state of that age. So if we interpret that Romans 13 passage so that those words good and evil do not mean the way God defines good and evil, we have far more continuity. We don't have to do what the Theonomists do or Greg Bonson and pull it out as an abstract about what government should be like. Now, that's also another legitimate way that one can interpret Romans chapter 13. You say, well, Dr. Coben, is there really any reason why we'd want to do that in the liberty of conscience point of view? Well, there is. There are several very good reasons. First of all, it's very abrupt to take the theonomic position and say, well, we're going to have to say this is part of an idealized golden age, that really this is a blueprint for government, and in fact, if government is not holding this passage, instead of telling us to submit, is actually telling us we can rebel using a lower magistrate bringing in and taking out the state. That's a harder leap to make in my mind, or at least in some people's minds, than to simply say the words, the good and evil, are not referring to how God defines good and evil. It's also, I think, very difficult for us to say, as the divine writers would. I use the term divine writer because it's shorter than saying the revitalized or reshaped divine right of kings view. It's the divine writers would take the tact that just denying historical fact, as far as I'm concerned, Nero was not a good guy. He did not bring order to society. The Roman peace was not just a wonderful, blessed time with great justice. The Roman civilization was a wicked civilization. It was full of evil, paganism, Caesar worship. There was no freedom of religion. There was chaos. There was a huge percentage of the population was enslaved. It was a grotesque version of despicable humanity being plundered by the Roman state, and being oppressed and suppressed by the Roman government. Well, at any rate, so I don't think either of those views are very tenable, both biblically or historically. And historically, not just in the Bible sense, but or in the biblical record, but also outside of the biblical record. In fact, if we simply go and look at the whole issue of the state from the inception of the world, of world recorded history until the present, we find that the state has been the greatest progenitor of evil, the thing that has opposed Christianity, the thing that has opposed the kingdom of God, the thing that has caused more chaos in the world, not order, but chaos in the world, has murdered far more people than any other thing, including false religions or inquisitions or other things combined. It has destroyed more property. Indeed, the state has done in every way the work of the devil in the world. Even though the American government has been relatively benign, people don't realize what an anomaly we have here in this nation. Most states have not been benign. The vast majority have been cruel and tyrannical and have caused the deaths of millions. In the 20th century alone, R.J. Rummel, one of my favorite authors who wrote Death by Communism, Death by Government and the Black Book of Communism, points out that there were at least, the very conservative estimates, in the 20th century alone, 170 million non-combatants murdered by their own governments. 170 million people. That's huge. We're talking about way more people than all the other centuries combined assaults by false religions or inquisitions or whatever else might have come down non-governmentally to attack people, mafias, crime units. The more likely result, R.J. Rummel says, was about 350 million killed by their own gun governments, non-combatants. That doesn't include people killed in warfare. Doesn't include people killed by abortion. We're talking about just line them up and I don't like you anymore, like Pol Pot did. You speak another language, you're going to die, and shoot them in the head or just bury them alive like Mao Zedong did. I mean, this is cruelty. This is what states do. So, and the scripture, is it any different? No. The biblical record outside of the theocracy shows that 90% of all government action has been evil. that the states have been opposed to God's ways, opposed to God's kingdom. 90% of the occurrences or the mentions of state or public policies have been evil things, clearly evil things. The other 10% are debatable, not necessarily good things. They're just one side or the other, maybe a little bit good, but generally very evil things. So the liberty of conscience view takes a lot of credit. Has a lot of support from the historical evidence both inside the Bible and outside, and we do need to take into account cultural dynamics. That's why we don't give each other holy kisses anymore. We also need to take into account historical dynamics that both around the period in which the thing was written, the Bible was written, and afterward to see how it's spelled out. So anyway, those are the three views that how they interpret the Romans 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2 passages. Interesting, because Corey's email this morning seemed to indicate that he held a theonomic perspective of government and was critical of Juliet's divine right position. Well, at any rate, that's been the first half hour of the show. I hope that's been of use for all of you, and I hope you're thinking biblically, I hope you're thinking deeply, and I hope you're thinking about issues pertaining to liberty here on Christian Worldview. We're coming up against our top of the hour break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back into Christian Worldview. Here in Greenville, we've got about 40, low 40s, 40 to 44 degrees here this morning. Going to rise up to 58 degrees. Do you have clear skies? So if you're going out a little bit chilly this morning, you might want to bundle up just a little bit. You're making your way out the door to get on your way over to work. Thanks for listening to Christian Worldview. The Tyranny Response Network is designed to help you think better, because Christians are often the ones who are the most gullible, led around by the Pied Piper of the Republican Party to do its bidding. And we here on Christian Worldview are dedicated to helping you as Christians think better about things such as economics, public policy, the Bible itself and theological issues, as we just discussed in the first half hour of the show, as well as how to handle politics the best. Well, we have an interesting thesis come in, as usual, from Chuck Baldwin. Chuck Baldwin was the former vice presidential candidate from the Constitution Party. This letter happens to be just too long to read on the show, but I want to give you a few excerpts from his letter. And this is from March 4, 2004, Chuck Baldwin. He says, "Neither conservatives nor liberals believe in limited government. Both groups excel in spending taxpayers' money. Liberals want to tax and spend, while conservatives want to borrow and spend." He goes on, "Neither conservatives nor liberals give a hoot about saving the lives of unborn babies. Both groups say they find abortion repulsive, etc., but neither group wants to protect the lives of the unborn children from the abortionist scalpel or from abortifacients such as RU 486. I couldn't agree more with that statement, Chuck. Both conservatives, he continues, and liberals in Washington, D.C. have forced American culture and business to mainstream homosexuality. Very true and very tragic. Both conservatives and liberals offer no resistance to a growing international New World Order. Both groups seem perfectly willing to sacrifice the independence and sovereignty of the United States to the United Nations and other multinational organizations." Hear, hear. Very true, Chuck. And he says also, "President Bush wants to legalize illegal aliens by granting them guest worker status." Again, from Chuck's point of view, that's a huge issue. I don't like the idea personally as a pro-life libertarian, but I would prefer to do a privatization of the border rather than using a big government spend program to use the military to build a fence and keep them out by patrolling it. In fact, I just was interviewed by Free Market News in Florida yesterday about my article on the web that you can read regarding free market solutions to the immigration problems. Kind of highlights that one of the differences between a pro-life libertarian and a Constitution Party advocate, whereas the Constitution Party believes the government caused a failure in border problems, they believe the same government that caused the failure can go and solve the problem. I suggest that this is the root cause of the problem, the government. We should not trust the government to seal the border and protect our borders. Instead, we should look to free market solutions. The market can provide private border patrols, private border services, by simply privatizing the whole situation, holding that down there, whether it's the number of people that are allowed to cross or not allowed to cross, or putting a vigilante force out there to protect private property. All this can be done by private means. It does not have to be done by the state. So there is a small disagreement. There's one example between the two parties. You can go and find my article, by the way, at www.policyofliberty.net under the articles and papers link. Just scroll down until you find free market solutions for immigration problems. Getting back to Chuck Baldwin, what he says, conservatives are quickly morphing into little national socialists. Well, that's obvious. In fact, my next week's article is going to be on the neocons, the neoconservatives. What is a neoconservative? Well, you can look at the draft online there in the articles and papers section if you care to read my draft. It's posted before it will be published in the middle of March. Basically, a neocon is a liberal who's got conservative skin on. I guess that's the best way to describe them. Liberal to the core. In fact, they're so confused, these neocons. They adore people like Ronald Reagan, but also adore people like Franklin Roosevelt, believe it or not. They're both heroes and champions for the neocons. At any rate, for a legal review of Patriot Act and how it's destroying your liberties, he says go to his website, and his website is chuckbaldwinlive.com, chuckbaldwinlive.com, and you can find it there. There is an article written by Tim Baldwin, and you can find out about the Patriot Act and how it's destroying your liberties. He said, "I applaud liberals for having the guts to oppose President Bush's attempts to eviscerate our liberties under the rubric of fighting terrorism. It is shameful that conservatives are ignoring Bush's attacks against the Constitution." He goes on, "America now seems to be determined to ignore the sagacious words of John Quincy Adams." Sagacious, for all of you who went to the public school and didn't learn that word, means wise, essentially. Prudent words of John Quincy Adams, who, repeating America's founding policy regarding foreign intervention, said, "America goes not abroad seeking monsters to destroy." However, that is exactly what George W. Bush and today's conservatives are doing with their Obviously, he's talking about his foreign policy actions, especially Afghanistan and Iraq. As you can readily see, political labels mean nothing. And we appreciate Chuck Baldwin bringing this to our attention. He's an excellent, excellent writer and a great guy. Wish sometime that I could meet Chuck. And perhaps he can he could even be a guest here on Christian Worldview. We enjoy reading his what he has to say every week very much. Want to give a quick plug for the Times Examiner. I mentioned my columns being online under the policyofliberty.net link for articles and papers. Remember that I am published every week in places like the Free Market News, which is online, an online version, as well as locally here in Greenville, South Carolina, the Times Examiner. You can reach the Times Examiner at 864-268-0576. It's 864-268-0576. Or you can pick up a copy at 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville, 29609. That's 44 Pine Knoll Drive. Just stop in and talk to Bob or Laverl, Bob Dill or Laverl, and they'll set you up with a subscription for only $20 a year in-state and $22 a year out-of-state. That price will rise after April 1st, so be sure to give a call over there and get your subscription rolling to the Times Examiner. Great columnists. You'll find Walter Williams, Joe Sobran, Thomas Sowell, Phyllis Schlafly, and yours truly, the Tyranny Response Unit, among many others who are writing weekly columns of that are just excellent. Stephen Yates, a recent columnist, is really doing a great job in coming up with some excellent material for us. The one on political correctness we read yesterday is a good example. At any rate, pick up a copy there or get a subscription. Simply call the Times Examiner at 864-268-0576. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And while we're speaking about President Bush, out of Chuck Baldwin's excellent commentary this morning, we find an article that from Langley, Virginia. Bush reassures the CIA employees about the agency. President Bush promised CIA employees on Thursday they will retain an incredibly vital role in safeguarding the nation's security despite a reorganization that dismisses the agency's 60-year dominance in the intelligence community. The article goes on to say, Bush's trip came a day after the CIA director Porter Goss complained publicly that the new law had a huge amount of ambiguity in it, creating confusion about his relationship with John Negroponte, Bush's nominee to the post of National Director of Intelligence, and with Defense Secretary Donald H. Rumsfeld. Out of earshot of reporters, Bush spoke to a large assembly of CIA employees, drawing loud cheers. He also received a private intelligence briefing. "It is a matter of time before we bring those people to justice," he goes on to say, talking about Al-Qaeda. With Gossett aside, Bush said he hasn't had discussed the jurisdiction issue with the CIA director because "I don't want there to be any interruption of intelligence coming to the White House, and there won't be." Is there any intelligence going through the White House? I guess if you look at it from the neocon or liberal understanding of what intelligence is, George Bush is the epitome of the intelligent man. At any rate, there's a lot of other intelligence gathering operations around government. Now, we're going to try to take a phone call here, folks, if you'll be right back in just a second. Sorry for the break of silence there. Our producer happens to be out of the room and the phone is ringing, so the Tyranny Response Unit is trying to get to the phone. Unfortunately, was not able to get to the phone in time. I believe the caller can have an opportunity to call back and we'll get you right on the air. Sorry about that, folks. We're doing our best here as our volunteer organization can supply to get you the proper kind of broadcast that you really want. High quality and great information and content. At any rate, continuing on with this article just briefly, we've achieved a lot in securing this country. Bush called efforts to block the terrorist leaders' hope of attacking America again the greatest challenge of our day. And finally, we've got, I think that's the best part of the entire story there. At any rate, we hope that you'll call back if you've just tried to call Christian Worldview. Again, our phone number, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. And you can send questions or comments anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even if you're listening to the recorded broadcast, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, again, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. In other news today, we have Fox News reporting something of interest to those of us of the Christian faith. Hobbit brain supports human dwarf theory. Scientists working with powerful imaging computers say the spectacular hobbit fossil recently discovered in Indonesia had distinctive brain features that could justify its classification as a separate and tiny human ancestor. The new report, published Thursday in the online journal Science Express, seems to support the idea of a human dwarf, a species marooned for eons while modern man spread across the planet. Detractors of the theory, however, said the computer models were unconvincing. The new research produced a computer-generated model that compared surface impressions on the inside of the fossil skull with brain casts of modern and ancient humans, as well as chimps and other primates. The scientists said the model shows that the 3-foot specimen, nicknamed Hobbit, had a brain unlike anything they had seen before in human lineage. The brain is chimp-like in size, between 380 and 420 cubic centimeters. Well, now the Tyranny Response Unit likes to speak what he knows something on subjects which he knows something about. Darwinism is something I'm of course opposed to from what I've read about it, but I don't really know enough about it to claim any kind of expertise. Some of you do. Some of you know about this Darwinian theory very well, and I would like to hear some comments from listeners about this hobbit brain theory, the hobbit brain supporting the idea of a missing link or something. If you have a question or comment that you can make about this Darwinian supporting hobbit brain or this hobbit creature, please do call the show, 864-201-6955, and help us to be enlightened about the whole issue. I believe we have a caller on the line. And we'd like to go immediately to your phone call. I'm sorry, because being on Christian Worldview, we had some difficulty in the production studio to get to your phone call earlier. Were you the one who tried to call and were not able to get through?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry for not missing your call, but I'm so glad you called back. Who am I speaking to?
This is Jim.
Well, good to meet with you, Jim, and thanks so much for calling. What would you like to talk about today?
Well, I'd like to compliment you on the program. I'm out in Dacusville and I can barely get you, but I really appreciate the perspective that I'm hearing. I've caught you a couple of times on the radio, and I just want to encourage you and say keep up the good work.
Well, thanks so much for calling and saying that, Jim. We do appreciate it very much, and it's before too long, we are in the process now of upgrading our range. The Tyranny Response Network is in the process of upgrading their range so that more people in the upstate of South Carolina will be able to hear the show. That may happen in the next couple of weeks, I understand. So we're excited about that, but there have been delays before. We were actually expecting that upgrade to happen in February, so I'm not announcing any kinds of dates here, but we know that it's in short order. It will be there. You'll be able to hear and pick up more easily in Dacusville. For now, are you listening on the Internet for the time being?
No, I'm listening on the radio.
Okay. Well, the radio signal is probably a little bit weak up there now, but it will get better as time goes on, I promise you. That's what I've been told, at any rate, by folks at the Tyranny Response Network. So really appreciate the call, Jim, this morning, and please do call in again.
Okay. Have a good day.
Well, thanks a lot, Jim. Have a good day. We're coming up to a break here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity, but as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
The law of non-contradiction. The same thing cannot at the same time both belong and not belong to the same object and in the same respect. Aristotle.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Well, welcome back to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network. We were just talking about the Hobbit brain and how the Hobbit brain supports the human dwarf theory. If you have any question or comment about that, not question, if you have a comment about that, I'd really appreciate you calling the show now. We occasionally, we have a lot of folks, I should say, who are creationists who support views that are against the Darwinian version Darwinian worldview, I guess you'd say. If you have any comments about this and have any expertise at all in debunking this or even affirming it, we'd want to take any kind of call about this, please do call the show, 864-201-6955. We have a caller on the line now, Nick, and we'd like to welcome you to the show, Nick, and thank you for calling.
Well, thanks. A while back I actually wrote a tract talking about evolution, and my the thrust of that particular tract, though, was, as a matter of fact, the title was Evolution, Another Anti-God Myth Perpetrated by the Anti-God Education, indoctrination system. And then I questioned, why do they fight teaching creation too? And that was kind of that was the title of it. And then the thrust of that particular tract was just exactly that. Why is it that they keep on fighting teaching creationism? And, you know, even Rush Limbaugh mentioned one time on his show, he says that evolution, see, is one of the bedrocks of the education system, because being that they are secularists, you know, secularists, well, what is a secularist, first of all? A secularist is the person who wants to take God completely out of the society. And so if people understand that right off the bat, then they will start understanding why they are so adamant about not teaching creationism and teaching evolution instead.
Well, okay, I know these are great comments, and I agree. Now, do you happen to know anything about this news story that broke with Fox about the hobbit brain supporting human dwarf theory and finding the missing link and so forth?
No, all I know is that I have read a little bit of things from what's called Answers in Genesis, and a lot of these myths come about because what happens is that these so-called science professors or scientists, so-called, as the Bible puts it, basically they start out with a supposed theory, you know, on whatever evolutionary theory they want to project, and then they start building their arguments based on that, and then they come up with some harebrained, you know, thing that supposedly happened, you know, millions or billions of years ago, and they have these, you know, theories on this turned into that and that turned into this, and therefore we came from slime, but they can't ever say where the slime came from either, you know. Mm-hmm. To me, it's all just a pile of, you know, bunk, really. They always throw in the millions or billions of years, because that way nobody can look back far enough to prove anything, you know.
Okay.
And of course, the major thing about it is they want to disprove the Bible and say, well, the Bible can't be true, because how is it possible that God could create, you know, all this in 6 days, you know?
Well, they don't have a Christian worldview. There's no question about it. But let me read a little bit more from this article. I didn't read the whole article online. It said, despite being up to two-thirds smaller than a modern human brain, the hobbit fossil's brain shared wrinkled surface features with the brain of both modern humans and Homo erectus, tool-making human ancestors that lived more than a million years ago, the researchers said. Some of these features are consistent with higher cognitive traits, they report. At the same time, they said the hobbit brain was different from the brain of a modern human pygmy or a human with abnormal brain growth. This is something new, said Florida State anthropologist Dean Falk, who led the study. The discovery has flummoxed the field of anthropology. So this is somewhere, they're finding this, I believe it was in Indonesia. So, at any rate, I have no doubt in my mind that that God created the world in 6 days, or even, it doesn't matter how, you know, time, these people get so hung up on how can God do it in 6 days, and how can the starlight get here when it takes millions of years. If God can create the world out of nothing, he can do it in 7 days, 9 days, 15 days, but if he says 6 days, I'm fully content with that. He could do it in a million years. But he didn't. There's no reason for me to believe that he did. And if God is almighty and all-powerful, if there is a God, then there's no doubt in my mind I don't have to worry that he is capable of doing this.
Well, but, you know, as far my as theory the... on some of this kind of stuff in the first place is, you know, it almost had to happen in 6 days, because the food chain, you know, would have had to become complete for whatever all these animals were, in order to feed off of each other or feed off of the land or whatever it happened to be, you know. So in other words, in 6 days, everything could be completed and continue life as, you know, as we see it around us. Whereas if this took millions of years, well, then it'd be the same. It'd be about the equivalent of what would happen if you made certain things extinct, you know, over a period of a million years. If you made certain things extinct over, well, even over 6 days,
mm-hmm.
you know, you would find that, you know, certain animals wouldn't be able to live because their food source wasn't there.
Yeah, of course, and God could miraculously keep people, you know, or animals alive without the food source. You know, people make this argument, and I've heard it said to me, John, how could the, you know, the world have been created in 6 days when you have the starlight taking so long to get to the earth, the speed of light? Well, God can create the starlight having already arrived. He can create the star. He can make the light from the star having already arrived on the earth also in the same instant. It's not a problem. At any rate, there are lots of fallacies that go along with the Darwinian worldview. These are people that basically don't believe in God most of the time. They don't accept that God is a creator, and therefore they have to come up with a different worldview. And, Nick, we've come up against a break. We really appreciate the phone call this morning. If you'd like to stay on for hang on after the break and you have more to talk about, please do so. But we're going to go and take a break now. If not, thanks for the call, and we look forward to talking with you again soon.
Sure.
You're listening to TRN.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but he has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as he did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome. Welcome back into Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben, the Tyranny Response Unit. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. So glad that you did this morning. In Greenville right now, it's in the low to mid 40s, and it's going to rise up to about 58 degrees today under clear skies, a little bit breezy. So if you're getting ready to go to work right now, you might want to carry a coat with you or a light jacket. It's going to be a little bit cool on the cool side this morning and even throughout the day. But we still have on the phone with us Nick, who had just one other question he wanted to ask us here on Christian Worldview, and we welcome you back to the show, Nick. Go ahead.
Well, thanks. I was questioning, we got to talking about this PPIC thing actually last night, and, you know, they were talking about how this would affect the homeschoolers, and or if it would or wouldn't, and they definitely decided that it would affect the homeschoolers. And the other thing was that, you know, this is costing so much right now for education. Louis Vaughn even mentioned this at a meeting of the Constitution Party where they had the debate, and he even mentioned that, well, we're spending like $10,000 a year on education, and he questioned where in the world is all this money, because if you take, you know, ten students in a classroom or 20, he used the figure of 20, that would be like $200,000 per year just in one classroom alone, and he questioned, well, where's the money beyond the cost of that, the building and the teacher, you know?
Yeah, well, it's going for all sorts of things, obviously. It's probably not being just taken as payoffs or bribes to anybody directly. There's probably contractors are getting paid certain things to build stuff. There are books, there's equipment, there's compliance with various rules, Americans with Disabilities Act. There's probably need to buy a good supply of condoms and fake drugs and movies and who knows what else. I mean, it's a terrible drain. In fact, I was listening yesterday to one great libertarian theorist named Harry Brown. I don't know if you know Harry Brown. He was just talking about how in real dollars, adjusted for inflation, 30 years ago we were spending $2,000 per kid, and now we're spending $8,000 per kid, and it's just getting worse. The education quality is going down. Something like half of people who come out of public education today, according to Bruce Short in his book, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools, something close to half the people in America today are functionally illiterate when they graduate, especially between the age group of 16 to 25, they can't even read.
Well, I run across kids that actually cannot read a ruler, and they are in high school.
Yeah, it's a tragedy. We really appreciate the call this morning, Nick. In fact, we're gonna come up here to an article by Stephen Yates, and do call back again, Nick. We'd love to talk with you more about PPIC and some of the things that you have some insight into on here on Christian Worldview. Thanks again for the call. We wanna jump ahead and go to an article because this is so apropos. It fits in so well with the theme. Stephen Yates, Dr. Stephen Yates from the University of South Carolina at Spartanburg, a pro-life libertarian, one who is very interested in the Christian worldview, likes to send us his articles, and we love to have them here to be able to read portions or all of them on Christian Worldview. And he just happened to send in an article that says, "More money will not reform government schools." Now, we don't want to take any thunder from the Times Examiner, which will probably be publishing this. Love the Times Examiner here, as you know, on Christian Worldview. But Stephen says, or Dr. Yates says, Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates recently threw down the gauntlet on government high schools. Speaking at a National Governors Association meeting devoted to high school education, Gates called public high schools obsolete and stated that elected officials should be ashamed of schools that fail utterly to prepare millions of students for college and technical jobs. And you heard that story. We read that here on Christian Worldview a few days ago. Gates Foundation has contributed about $1 billion in an effort to improve public education. When the students don't learn, he said, the school must change. Every state needs a strong intervention strategy to improve struggling schools. But is one of America's richest men missing the boat? Working under the assumption or the supposition that improving public education is possible, how might it happen? Not simply by throwing more money at it. That, after all, is what federal, state, and local governments have been doing all these years. We might begin by getting rid of the change agents interested and inculcating politically correct attitudes. We might eliminate the group projects and field trips. We need to do away with all the nonsense about self-esteem. Then we need to restore academics. Real education would involve teaching reading using proven methods of phonics. It would then turn to grammar, logic, general science, civics, and U.S. history as more than history of the grievances by governments designed protected groups. Much of the contemporary educational system, beholden to teachers' unions and career educrats, doing the change agents' bidding, is structured to prevent anything this fundamental. This is a key reason some of us have concluded that government schools can't be saved, and we shouldn't waste time or our money trying. Government schools have been trying to include huge doses of technical education into the classroom since school to work. That was 10 years ago when the CEO of Microsoft stands up and says it hasn't worked, that the kids don't know what they need to know in order to work for his company. Someone ought to listen. In fact, you can't substitute job skills program for real education. What needs to happen if we are to ever become educated societies again, is to reduce and then eliminate federal involvement in education, including eliminating the U.S. Department of Education. Federal involvement in education isn't authorized by the U.S. Constitution anyway. Most of the time, what the federal government touches, it ruins. Education is no exception. We need to get rid of agendas like outcome-based education, school-to-work, workforce investment, and other legacies of the two past decades that have ratcheted down academics and helped give us semi-illiteracy. Finally, let us get rid of No Child Left Behind, which requires teaching to the rest instead of real academics and real thinking skills. The state of Utah is set to pull out of George W. Bush's boondoggy, correctly seeing education as outside the purview of the federal government. Why there has been no significant opposition to NCLB in South Carolina is a bit of a mystery to me. Solid research now shows that homeschool children can be, on average, 4 years ahead of their government school counterparts in every major subject area. Why is this? The answer, homeschooling parents actually educate their children. That's too simple. Okay, go ahead. They do not set out to inculcate a balance of political correctness and so-called job skills. Until it is generally recognized that the basic premises of state-sponsored education are wrong, the Bill Gateses of the world will continue to be throwing money at a failed system. Taxpayer dollars, too, will continue going down the government school rat hole. Meanwhile, parents who keep their children in this system will continue wondering why their teenagers know more about condoms, for example, than how to write grammatical sentences or to do simple arithmetic. Or worse yet, why they are on legal mind-altering drugs such as Ritalin or Prozac. And we really appreciate that article, Stephen. Right on the money, as usual. One of those few people, famed people in the world that the Tyranny Response Unit finds very, very little, if ever, anything to disagree with. Excellent scholar and excellent commentary on this failed government school and the failed attempt now by Bill Gates. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, of course. Where else would you hear talk like this? And this is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state, and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we hope and trust that listening to those quotations from the Founding Fathers and other great minds through the centuries is helping you think a little bit more about public life, about public policy, about the Christian worldview. One thing that will also help you do so is my book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Since we've been talking about the public school, and I have an entire chapter devoted to criticizing that institution, vehemently, I might add, as well as the Christian worldview pertaining to Romans 13 and how we respond, and 1 Peter chapter 2, how we respond to government, what the nature of the state is, when we can rebel and revolt and stuff like that. All that it may be found in the book Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. I would encourage you all, if you haven't read the book, to go online to policyofliberty.net. At the top of the page, there'll be a blinking sign that says Alertness Books. Click on that Alertness Books link, and it will take you to a page that has all of our books and articles. Go ahead and get the downloadable version. I believe it's only $3.95. Or the paperback version, it can be mailed to you for $10.95. Well worth reading this book. If you want to understand the Christian worldview, we'd encourage you to go to policyofliberty.net, click on that link, and order a copy for yourself today. Well, we have a couple of things the research staff just wanted us to keep up with here at the Tyranny Response Network. We've been following a little bit some things that are going on with the World Health Organization, and here we have Lyon, France. The World Health Organization is seeking to expand its $2.5 million dose supply of smallpox vaccines as part of precautions against a biological terrorism attack, a senior official said Wednesday. There's talking here in this article about preparedness for accidental or deliberate epidemics. Could be part of the Interpol conference on bioterrorism coming up. In the event of an emergency, Kay said, the small amount that the WHO has is not going to go far. So they're trying to increase this on an international level, get information out there and discuss it. They say a little bit later in the article, the disease plagued humans for centuries, that is smallpox, and it's believed to have killed more people than all wars and epidemics combined. Death typically follows massive hemorrhaging. Then he goes on in the article to say more than 500 crime fighters and counterterrorism officials from 155 countries attended the conference that was touted as the largest gathering in police in history. New York City Police Department Michael Sheehan said indoor and outdoor air detectors have been installed across the city to take samples that are checked daily for pathogens. The project is still in the testing phase. We don't have any information that at this time that they have that capability to use this kind of bioterrorism, but we do know that they're trying to get it. Sheehan told said of Al-Qaeda, declined to provide specifics. Well, that is a terrible thing, and if there is indeed a proper role of government, it is to protect us from predators, including predators like this, who would send over microorganisms to attack us, so we appreciate their efforts. Also very mindful, however, that government may use this as another way to infringe our rights and liberties, so concerned about that in that respect, too. We'll be keeping a watchful eye on that here on the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview. In North Carolina, we have a judge being denied or blocked from being nominated to the federal court. In Washington, a North Carolina judge and aide, former Senator Jesse Helms, defended himself Thursday against Democratic accusations he's unqualified for the federal appeals court seat that's just beyond his reach for almost 15 years. He's going on and saying, we're just out of the mainstream. Democrats have blocked his nomination, with senators and liberal groups saying he's been reversed too many times and he's just too hostile to civil rights, women's rights, and employees' rights. Very interesting that they're doing this kinds of thing already. Anyway, well, isn't it, though? What would we expect out of the U.S. Congress, I suppose, folks? I hope that I'm clearly in the main room and I've done my best to apply the law. What's the most remarkable? What is most remarkable? The number and range of cases that bear out Judge Boyle's undisguised bias against civil rights, criminal justice, and disability statutes in the case law. Representative Mel Watt, the Democrat from North Carolina and chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus, said in a letter to the judicial. He's probably pro-life is really the problem. That's really what they don't like. But any rate, we'll be following this story a little bit as well. We're always interested to know what's going on in the judgeship since they have so much authority nowadays. Finally, we have our research staff bringing up a story about Sinn Féin in Ireland. He says, in fact, one of my researchers sent me a note saying, here's the other episode of the activities of a group that has a long history of resistance to the British powers to be. And, of course, that would be a very interesting piece and portion that we could talk about the legitimacy or illegitimacy of resistance to the case. In this, Sinn Féin suspends 7 after killing. I love to mispronounce these sorts of names. You know, one of the problems with not having a television for 21 years, you never hear how the modern media pronounces things when you only read it. You ever notice that? If you don't, well, maybe you haven't. If you're always listening to the government tube box, you learn how certain things are pronounced, but you become quite a counter-culturalist when you end up having your language affected by having to learn how to pronounce certain things, foreign names and otherwise, on your own from just reading or perhaps speaking to other people. Well, at any rate, we want to talk a bit about this. We're going to do that in the last section of Christian Worldview. We'll try to get through some of this issue of resistance. It goes along with what we talked about earlier with submission to the state, the first half hour of the show. Before we do that, let's go to a quick break. It's our final break of the show this morning before we come to a close on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
The law of non-contradiction. The same thing cannot at the same time both belong and not belong to the same object and in the same respect. Aristotle.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Oh, we're just noticing, well, during the break there, I was scanning some recent news stories, and Bush is now telling Syria to scram out of Lebanon. Could be another target. You know, Iran, potentially the next victim of Bush terrorist attacks, or not terrorist attacks, but interventionist attacks, foreign policy work, or North Korea. Well, now Syria is another possible target. Any rate, when can we resist the state? Interesting question, certainly, that we need to discuss here on shows such as Christian Worldview. But here we have a story, the story in Dublin, Ireland. The Irish Republican Army linked party Sinn Féin announced Thursday it has suspended seven members who were allegedly involved in the January 30th killing of a Catholic man outside a crowded Belfast pub. The announcement by the leader, Gary Adams, came on the eve of the party's annual conference and followed weeks of criticism from the victim's family in Short Strand, a hardline Catholic neighborhood that is normally an IRA power base. The IRA continues to reject the legitimacy of Northern Ireland's police force. Sinn Féin was initially criticized for opposing police efforts to identify McCarthy's killers, and more recently for refusing to call for witnesses to talk directly to police. Anne Hearn met, this is a British Prime Minister, Irish Prime Minister Bertie Ahern, met with British Prime Minister Tony Blair and his close partner in fostering compromise in the British territory for about 45 minutes at Blair's Downing Street office in London. Ahern also told an audience of Irish residents of London that relations between Ireland and Britain have never been better, but continuing activities by the outlawed IRA have produced very difficult and frustrating times for the peace process. Well, does the IRA have the right to revolt? Can they go ahead and just revolt against Britain or against Ireland, against the rule of law? Some people would say absolutely not. Some people would say yes, they do, because it's a tyrannical state over them. On the other hand, if the IRA acts as a criminal organization, and they're not just revolting against government, but they're actually attacking others, the private property of other people, what do we think about this organization then? Well, it takes it into a different class, doesn't it? Because if in their a professed revolt against Tony Blair or against the British Crown, the IRA actually blows up innocent people or are starting to attack neighborhoods and property and things like that in Northern Ireland, then those people have a right to defend themselves. Why not? And why wouldn't they expect government, specifically the government of England, to come in and defend them? That's the proper function of the state. So you can see there could be two different ways you could look at this, but my take on it is this. Even if the Irish Republican Army has every right to revolt against a tyrannical state, and there's no question that England has a tyrannical state, but to do that, they have to legitimately revolt against those in state power. When they start attacking private individuals, people who own private property, or just killing people indiscriminately, or even not indiscriminately, they have violated and become violated the principles of law and become a criminal class themselves. If we're going to carry on a revolution, we can't intentionally target innocent people or people that are not part of the state. It's not right to attack people that are not causing the crime or the bad action or the foul action. State agents are the only, or tyrants as the founders used to call them, should be the only object of this sort of rebellion, at least in my view. Now, somebody else may have a different view there. We appreciate hearing from you if you do. You can call us here at 864-244-6955. Here my research staff is coming to the rescue. They just sent me an email, Dr. Coben. It's Sinn Féin. Oh, but I wanted to continue to mispronounce it. Sinn Féin sounds so much better. Sinn Féin, however I was saying it. Sinn Féin. Always coming to the rescue, my great volunteer staff of research experts here on the Tyranny Response Network. Appreciate that that comment and correction. We don't want people to go away and not pronounce Sinn Féin correctly. Sinn Féin. At any rate, the Tyranny Response Network is opposed to tyranny. We are opposed to all things that would come up in our faces to subvert our rights, to suppress us, to take us away from the cause of liberty and truth and the preaching of the gospel. And we appreciate all efforts, on the contrary, to promote liberty, whether it be revolting against evil institutions like the public school or the Internal Revenue Service or feminist organizations, gay activist organizations, secular humanism, and all forms of tyranny, public and private, but specifically public tyranny that comes from the state. We're in favor of opposing these things, and we hope that you will be as well. Remember, you're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, and we are a special station, not only listener-supported, but we are a station that is dedicated to bringing you a different perspective than what you get on other radio stations. While other people are interested in the neoconservative movement and promoting the goals and agendas of the Republican Party in large measure, it seems, we're not here. We see right through the problems with the Republican Party, of course, with the Democrat Party as well. And we try to promote for folks a liberty perspective, a perspective that will get us back to the roots of this country and the Founding Fathers and what they appreciated. And we use every legal means and persuasive means to, available to us to help people understand the truth and get back to their roots, both as a Christian and as an American patriot. Well, we've come to the close of today's issue and of edition of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you all have a wonderful weekend, and we'll look forward to seeing you back here again Monday morning for another edition of Christian Worldview Today. Until then, God bless you.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning, saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans that need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.